Earlier this year, in July of 2018, Kimberly Reed released a documentary that takes aim at dark money flowing in politics following the Citizens United Supreme Court decision. With a focus on the state of Montana as one of the last remaining bastions of hope for transparent campaign financing, this documentary dives into the fray of one of the most talked about subjects in politics. On this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we are going to be looking at the documentary in our traditional style of doing things. I hope you enjoy it and take the time to let me know what you think about it by going to the website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Go to the Lessons from the Screen area and leave a comment. Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome back to another episode of Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get through any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PACS Inc., a Black activist advocacy and think tank with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through a focus on education, a culture shift, and economics. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Drop a line, drop a comment, look at the site, go through, leave some money, donations, become a member, take a survey, do whatever you can to help them, because as we say every show, they're doing everything they can to help you. Today we're going to be talking about dark money, the documentary. So let's not even beat around the bush with it. Let's just hop right into it. So the documentary opens with Democratic Senator John Tester cursing at a piece of agricultural equipment that is broken down, following narration of a rather sinister foreboding about a corporation trying to gain access to a state's resources and not caring about the environment or the people working for it. It goes on to paint a picture that's fairly unfamiliar to most of us that live in metropolitan cities and states. It's the picture of the citizen politician, people that are the equivalent of the weekend warrior. They do their job as a politician when it's time to, when legislature's in session, either federally or locally, and for the rest of the year, they're just regular citizens working real jobs. And for a lot of us, that's a foreign concept as we're in the age, we're well into the age, centuries into the age of the career politician where all they do is politic. It's hard to remember at times that that's not the way the system was set up. But this documentary did a very good job of bringing that back, bringing that to the forefront. And if that's what they're doing in Montana, good for them. You know what I'm saying? That needs to spread to the rest of the nation. That's great for Montana, though. So we move on from John Tester cursing at his equipment, and we move into the stage being set for what's pretty obviously going to become an attack on corporate dollars flowing into politics. And the familiar targets in these documentaries, and this one was no exception, was people like the Koch brothers and the money that they have coming in. The environmental damage that was shown was significant with regards to a giant lake in the middle of Montana that's filled with stormwater runoff that's been polluted. And the comment was made that the water has the acidity level of stomach acid. So if you could just imagine a lake of stomach acid. And that was a very, very interesting picture that they painted as a result of corporations tainting the land. They even made statements and showed pictures of birds landing in the water and dying. So, well, being dead. They didn't show any pictures of the birds dying, like being eaten in the water, but they showed dead birds and they showed birds in the water. So, anyways, so it was a very good picture, very interesting picture, simply because it's a picture that probably for a lot of us outside of Montana, we haven't seen it before, so we don't even know that it's there. So I can only imagine living there, and the water level there is rising. So, you know, if it keeps going, how much more until it crosses over and starts to leak into people's homes or starts to take over more land? And there were houses right on the shore. So the environmental damage was significant, and it was impactful. Then it moved into talking about how the politicians are being bought off with campaign contributions from unknown places. And again, all of this was focused in Montana. And it looks at the history of campaign finance laws and what caused them to even be needed in the state. And then it brings us forward to the 2010 Citizens United Supreme Court decision that allowed corporations to spend freely on political campaigns. Now, it does point out that Citizens United ruling was seen as overturning all state bans on corporate contributions to political campaigns, meaning that the 100-year-old campaign finance laws that Montana had were now nullified. And of the 24 states that had campaign finance laws, all of them caved except Montana, which is one of the reasons why this documentary probably chose to focus, you know, almost exclusively on Montana. The Montana Supreme Court upheld that the U.S. Supreme Court decision did not invalidate the Montana state laws in Montana, and a battle ensued. We all know the story there. Montana got backhanded by the U.S. Supreme Court. It was a stunning, a chilling display of powdery pimpery, as the Supreme Court basically they basically told Montana to get the fuck out of here. So the argument that the Supreme Court used was essentially that corporations as legal persons have the constitutional right to free speech, and political contributions are a form of free speech that is constitutionally protected. It in essence said that corporate political contributions regulations were a violation of the First Amendment. For those of you that don't know, and this wasn't talked about in the documentary, I'm going to talk about it here. But for those of you that don't know, corporations gain legal person status thanks to their manipulation of the verbiage in the 14th Amendment. The amendment was passed to give legal citizenship and protections to former slaves. In 1886, a court reporter recorded the proceedings of the Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, and recorded a statement by Chief Justice Morrison Waite, an appointee of President Ulysses S. Grant, well-known Union general. The statement recorded says the court does not wish to hear argument on the question whether the provision in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which forbids the state to deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the law, applies to these corporations. We are all of the opinion that it does. So that was his statement. And this statement was used later and has been used since as a landmark statement giving corporations legal personhood status equal to that of natural human persons, which is why they can sue, they can be sued, they have rights, and one of their rights is freedom of speech, of which contributing to a financial campaign is under that umbrella. So it could also be said that while Justice Waite was considered to be a supporter of Black people, while on the bench, his decisions narrowly interpreted the Reconstruction laws and amendments, and his court freed or allowed to be free members of the KKK and other hate groups. You make up your own mind about how much of an ally he was. But for a lot of these old-timery people, their views were complicated. We'll use that in a nice way. Meaning they espoused one thing and they frequently did other things. Actually, I guess that's not too much different than what's going on nowadays, if you look at it and think about it. But all in all, that's a show for a whole nother day. Corporate personhood, Chief Justice Morrison, all of that is a discussion for another day. This documentary did look at the divide within the Republican Party, something that I talked about in my last show, The Republican Long Haul, The Long Haul, and something that has been very obvious and apparent over the past few decades, especially in the past decade, specifically with the rise of the Tea Party. The conversation did eventually leave Montana for a brief period of time to move on to another state, Wisconsin, and the documentary did begin to talk about 501c4 organizations, which are social welfare nonprofits. They have more leeway when it comes to political contributions and other forms of political activity than 501c3s. It also talked about the Republicans on the Federal Elections Commission in Montana, and it referred to them frequently as, or it referred to their practice of frequently locking up all the issues before the committee and refusing to enforce campaign finance laws, effectively making the commission pointless because it wasn't enforcing law. The documentary wasn't just focused on the cash, though. It also took a deep look at contributions in terms of services rendered, and in terms of products provided, all for free, and in terms of coordination of products, services, and people, which all of this is a take on campaign contributions that, from all of the documentaries about dark money and campaign finance and all these other things, that's an angle that's rarely ever looked at. It's one that's so obvious and so right there on the table, but it's still one that's not really mentioned that often. If you watch a lot of these things, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. It does get mentioned in documentaries, but not nearly as much as it should and not nearly to the depth that it should. So this documentary did that, and I'm appreciative for it. So one of the biggest takeaways from this documentary for me is the same takeaway I had from my show on the evolving Republican Party. The fact that these people have a plan and they are working together towards a common goal and against a disorganized opponent that is just now realizing what is happening and is still somewhat delusional about what to do about it. Not even talking exclusively about the Democratic Party here, because as mentioned earlier, there is a rift in the Republican Party. Moderate Republicans are also the opposition to this modern extreme conservative movement, and they're just now understanding that as well. Maybe a couple years back, they realized it before the Democrats did. When you have a plan and you are competing against a disorganized opponent that doesn't even realize the game that's being played, you have the opportunities to run wild and set the terms and conditions for engagement. And they are doing that. And this is why a minority party in America right now has the majority control. Another point is the involvement of white women. I know. I'm going to say it, though. At every turn in this documentary and in other instances of abusive power and violations of laws, rules, policies, and norms, we see, white women. This isn't just about the majority of them that voted for Trump. And it's not just about the near majority of them that vote extreme Republican. This is about their roles as lawyers and judges and corporate executives and commission members and everything else. Even in their limited spaces of operation in these offices, they are still very much involved in the long game of the disenfranchising other groups and keeping old oppressive and abusive cultures in place in America. This documentary showcased an example of a lawyer, a judge, and a commission member working against the will of the American people in terms of campaign finance issues. So why should we, especially as Black people, be excited about white women ascending to greater heights of power when all too frequently that power doesn't create any positive effects for us? White women are just as bad as white men. And I don't understand why we don't seem to get that. They're just as bad as white men in a lot of regards, and worse in others. And that should be recognized in the space of understanding that this isn't a male cultural issue. A lot of people like to talk about white men, white men, white men. This is a white cultural issue. White women have begun to be celebrated as the better alternative, despite constant reminders that they aren't. Look at how we're responding to the midterm and the record numbers of women that are going to be represented, not even caring that the bulk of them are white women. And for all of their rah-rah-rah sisterhood, rah-rah-rah, there's a rather large group of white women that were on the We Support Brett Kavanaugh situation that constantly support their white men at the expense of other white women even. So I just don't understand how such a fickle group can be celebrated for being inclusive and being less oppressive when they're represented in large numbers, large percentages on the oppressive side. It is an amazing display of tactical ability, of strategy, of it's an amazing display of being able to shape the narrative and control and maintain the narrative. It is just a wonderful display of the usage of propaganda that they're able to sit in both spaces at once. But I got to say, the final takeaway from this documentary is actually a topic not mentioned in the documentary at all. And that's the fact that the biggest problem with campaign finance issues is that voters are not doing proper amounts of research on candidates. They can be taken advantage of emotionally because they don't know how a particular candidate really feels. And that is because they don't know a particular candidate's voting record because they're not looking for it. Because voters are so ignorant to the real actions of politicians and how government really works, or even how to research political topics, campaign finance is a huge issue because you are essentially buying votes. This is something that I talked about in my last show on the midterm results. If we spent time educating voters on civics and government and on research, corporations could spend all the money that they wanted to, and it wouldn't matter, because an informed voter isn't going to be swayed by political attack ads. Hell, an uninformed voter is hardly swayed by these political attack ads. But as long as the American people remain ignorant to the things that should be a basic fundamental part of our education in this country, dark money is going to be an issue. And that isn't a shot at the American people. They haven't been taught. And they haven't been taught to even care that they haven't been taught. That's a shot at the American government and the nonprofit organizations that center themselves around political issues, namely all the voting campaign and drive organizations. If you want to remove corporate political power, ignore it and teach people how to research and vote and watch the people vote the way they want, unaffected by emotional attack pieces or corporate funding, and then watch the politicians that are elected become of a higher quality, and then watch the regulated companies, because of better regulation and because of better enforcement, watch better, higher quality corporations rise up. But all of that hinges on a public that is educated on how to educate itself and the importance of doing so. Again, if you want to get rid of campaign finance issues, teach the American people how to research candidates, how government works, and what happens when you vote. You do those three things, it doesn't matter how much money anybody spends, because I'm going to go and research the candidates for myself, and I'm going to make up my own mind. And if you put out an attack ad, I'm going to research that too. And if I find out it's not true, then the candidate that approved the message takes a hit for it. So, overall, this was a great documentary. It was one-sided, like all of them are nowadays, so it loses half a point for clear bias. But it did have the opposing viewpoint presented, and you know, I like that kind of stuff. It was primarily focused on Montana, but it did talk about the larger implications. With its focus being so narrow, it was both protected and boosted by the limited time it spent going deep on relevant tangents. A great example of this was when it went in on the history of the Montana campaign finance laws. But on the other end, it missed an opportunity to talk a little bit about how corporations achieved legal personhood. And it didn't have to be an in-depth analysis, because I understand that might have been outside the scope of the documentary. But I felt like it was so relevant to the message being conveyed that it was worth at least a 2 to 5 minute explanation. But the documentary also didn't offer any real meaningful solution other than campaign finance law. There wasn't really a call to action in any meaningful way. And then, of course, my point about educated voters nullifying corporate finance wasn't even looked at or mentioned. And in my opinion, it should be a huge part of every discussion on campaign finance. So all in all, I get this documentary 4 stars. It's a good documentary, above average documentary, very solid piece of work. But it definitely had a lot of flaws. And hey, you should definitely go check it out. You can find it on PBS. And with that, I want to thank you guys for tuning in. Told y'all we was going to get them run times back down, and we back down. Appreciate you, and I will see you next time on the next episode.
Lessons from the screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. I also want to encourage you guys to head over to the website, www.freedomtrainnetwork.com. You can head over there to the website, gain access to all of the shows on the Freedom Train Network, including this one. You can access to old shows, new shows. You should also check out the Freedom Train app. You can find it in the Google Play Store. If you research Google Play or research Freedom Train Radio or Freedom Train Presents, Freedom Train Network, you'll find the app there, and you'll see the Choo Choo Train. That is our trademark Choo Choo Train for the Freedom Train. You can get all of the shows right there on your cell phone. Notification whenever we drop anything, or maybe we just want to see a notification saying hi. You should definitely go and get that app. And you should also take a listen to our live internet radio streams throughout the weekend. We're dropping lectures, we're dropping shows, we're dropping all kinds of interesting things on the weekends. So definitely take advantage of that. I want to thank you guys again for supporting us. And as always, we appreciate you. We will see you next week. This is Freedom Train Network Presents Lessons from the Screen.